Doobie-doo, dum-dum, dum-doo-dum, doobie-doo, dum-dum, dum-doo-dum, doobie-doo, dum-dum, dum-doo-dum, doobie-doo, dum-dum.
From 1959 through 1963, the Fleetwoods had 9 top 40 hits. Originally, the group wasn't called the Fleetwoods. They were two girls and a guy. I'm Ronnie Allen, and I am pleased to say that right now, and for the next half hour, I happen to have the guy on the phone with me, and his name is Gary Troxell. Gary, thank you so much for joining me for this show.
Oh, you're welcome. This is fun.
The other members of the Fleetwoods, Gretchen Christopher and Barbara Ellis. Before we go any further, I'm going to ask a question that I bet you hardly anybody knows the real answer to. I bet you most people in the country think that you open Come Softly to Me with Dee Doobie Doo, but you do not open with Dee Doobie Doo. Do you, Gary?
No, I don't. I start that little, whatever it's called, with the N sound, as in November. And you really have to listen close, but it's that's the way it is. Doobie-doo-dum-dum, dum-doo-dum, doobie-doo. And then after I tell people that, then they hear the N all the time.
Once people find out about, oh, yeah, that N is so obvious, it's N-doobie-doo-dum-dum.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that until you told me. I'm glad you volunteered that information. Let me start out by saying that the Fleetwoods formed, actually, I would assume, around 1958, even though the hit started coming in 59, but did you actually form in 1958?
Oh, boy, I don't know if I could nail that down. I think it was in 58. We did Come Softly at a talent assembly, and that's when it really got together and became a little group. Everybody loved it, and, of course, everybody was saying, well, you want to record that. Well, of course. How do you do that?
Well, backing up just a bit now, I did talk to Gretchen Christopher a few weeks ago, and she said that the song originated as Come Softly. It became Come Softly to Me a little bit later on. We're going to get to Bob Reisdorf in a few seconds, but did you actually hear a partial song? Did Gretchen actually bring you a song that she had started writing? Is that the way you recall it?
Well, you know, I don't think I ever realized that Gretchen and Barbara were writing that little thing that they sing, because I was walking downtown going to the record bar. That was a record store in Olympia. And I just out of the blue started singing this doobie-doo-dum-dum, dum-doo-dum, doobie-doo-dum-dum, dum-doo.
It had nothing to do with anything that they may have written.
Well, yeah, that's what Gretchen said. You know, she said, that sounds like that would go with what Barbara and I have written, and it went perfectly.
So, in other words, they kind of wrote something together. It may have started with Gretchen, maybe Barbara added something to it, but you were doing your own, you were kind of marching to a different drum, but you kind of merged the two together into one song then.
Yeah, it was, the thing I was doing, I was thinking jazz all the time, and Gretchen said, slow that down, that sounds like that would go. Or it did.
It was obviously fate. Now, I have read a story that you might have been influenced by the record by the Del Vikings called Come Go With Me. Dum, 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 doobie, doobie, dum.
Well, I think so. I'm sure of that.
So the question really is, was it merely a jazz riff, or was it a jazz riff that might have been influenced subconsciously by something else?
Well, I like listening to jazz, like Andre Previn and Cal Jader, and I do have some of their records. Of course, subconsciously, I think it was Come Go With Me that helped me out.
I bet you that the Fleetwoods probably recorded Come Go With Me. Am I right?
Oh, yes, on an album.
I'm going to have to find that. I may run that as a bonus track. Now, we mentioned the school assemblies, or the whatever you would call them.
Talent assembly.
You performed the song, which was then called just Come Softly.
Right. It wasn't too long until Gretchen met somebody at a nightclub in Seattle. She knew the owner, and she met somebody who turned out to be Bob Reisdorf that wanted to start a record company with a couple other people. Bonnie Guitar was one of the other people. Bob and Bonnie were the ones that were with us all through that early recording.
What was Bob's reaction when you first met him? Did you actually do the song as an audition for him, or did you put it on a tape first?
Yes, we recorded Come Softly on tape at Gretchen's house, and she took the tape up to him, and I think he played it for Bonnie and a couple other people. And I think they were all in agreement that that was what they were looking for. Everything fell right into play.
My gosh, it sure did. Two totally separate songs fall into the same song, and you got a guy interested in the song now, and you recorded the song. Did you record it initially a cappella?
Yes, we did. Many times, because the guy who owned the studio didn't know that we could overdub. Evidently, he didn't know how to overdub. So we just kept singing it over and over, looking for the perfect track, which is almost impossible.
There were no instruments at that point.
Eventually, towards the end, because we were having trouble with meter, or keeping a beat, Bonnie would play the chords. Bonnie Guitar is a guitar player, and she played over in the corner so that we could see her hand mainly. I don't think that we could really hear her chords, but what we needed was that meter. And then it's so funny because I don't even think they used one of those later recordings. I think they used an earlier one because if you listen, if you tap your foot to come softly, it's not the same meter all the way through.
Interesting. Eventually, the guitar was kind of dubbed into it. It was an acoustic guitar, right?
Right.
And you had car keys that were part of the record? You shook your car keys? Or is that just a myth?
Oh, no, that's the truth. I had 51 Ford car keys, and I did it in rhythm with what I was singing. But I don't know if you can hear them. I used to be able to hear them, but my hearing is going.
So you had a 51 Ford, you had the car keys, and you said, oh, this will help get us the right rhythm, I guess. This is that classic recording, and by the way, it spent 4 weeks at number one on the Billboard chart back in 1959. These are the Fleetwoods and Come Softly to Me. Come Softly to Me, and that was the Fleetwoods. Originally, you were two girls and a guy, so how did you become the Fleetwoods?
Before they released the record, Bob Reisdorf, who was our producer and one of the owners of the company, and actually was our manager also, and I suppose our agent, because we didn't have any of those other people. He was everything to us. He thought that two girls and a guy just were not an original enough name for a group, and he really didn't have an idea. He called up Gretchen. He wanted to have a little phone conference with all three of us, but he could only get a hold of Gretchen. And they talked and talked and tried out different ideas, but he ended up finally asking her what the prefix was for our telephone in Olympia. And at that time, it was Fleetwood. It was, I think, 3-5 and then whatever the number was.
This might be the only number one record ever which actually has a stock number of 1. It was Dolphin 1. And it was Dolphin, like the fish. And the other interesting thing is, the record could have been released as Come Softly, but it was not. It was released as Come Softly to Me, which you never actually sing during the record.
Right. That's what the girls sing.
But they never say, come softly to me, as a phrase.
Yeah, it's just, come softly, darling. Come to me, stay, and then, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Would you like to go into the reason why there was the change?
Well, I think probably Bob, he told me this one time, he thought that come softly was too risque, especially back in 1959.
Were you still attending high school?
We were out of school. We graduated in 58.
Follow-up record got to number 39, which is not so shabby. It was Graduations here. But the one that came next gave you your second number one hit in the year 1959.
Right.
When you first heard the song Mr. Blue, which, unlike the previous two hits, was not written by a Fleetwood, it was written by Dwayne Blackwell, the guy that eventually wrote a song called Friends in Low Places for Garth Brooks. He wrote this song called Mr. Blue. What was your reaction the very first time you heard it?
I didn't like it.
Why not?
You know, I don't really have a good reason. It just didn't hit me. I'm one of those people that can't really visualize, especially with colors. My wife just shakes her head. You know, what goes with what and what shirt goes with what pants and colors and everything. And that's the same way with music. Until we started singing it and the girls sang their parts, I couldn't think that it would sound good with us.
Did you actually hear just a demo initially?
Yes, and it was, Gwen had a brother and a sister, and they called themselves the Blackwells, and they right. were from the San Francisco area. They had made that demo for us. There was, I think, four songs on there. Everybody liked it except me, and I was willing to go along. I said, I'll sing it, you know, it's just not a big deal. It didn't hit me.
It was two against one.
I guess so.
This had almost like a jazzy feel to it, didn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And it's also, since it had this introduction, it was kind of like an awful lot of songs from during our time growing up.
Do you still not like it, or did you get to like it?
Oh, no, I think it's my favorite one now.
Our guardian star lost all his glow the day that I lost you. He lost all his glitter the day you said no, and his silver turned to blue. Like him, I am doubtful that your love is true. But if you decide to call on me, ask for Mr. Blue. I'm Mr. Blue. When you say you love me, by going out on the sly, proving your love isn't true. Call me Mr. Blue. I'm Mr. Blue. When you say you're sorry, then turn around, heading for the lights of town, hurting me through. Stay at home at night, right by the phone at night,
right by the
but
phone.
You won't call, and I won't hurt my pride.
Call me Mister,
I won't tell you. While you paint the town a bright red to turn it upside down, I'm painting it too, but I'm painting it blue. Call me Mr. Blue.
Well, Mr. Blue is a little bit different from Come Softly to Me in that, whereas Come Softly to Me was actually a shared lead. In other words, the girls had a portion of the record where they were kind of doing lead singing, and then you would do your lead voice, and you were alternating back and forth.
Right.
Whereas Mr. Blue was primarily you in the lead and them backing you up. Is that a fair assessment of that?
Right.
And by that time, the label, which had been called Dolphin Records, had changed to Dalton, D-O-L-T-O-N. Was that because there was another label with the same name?
It was a religious label, and they called up Bob right away and told him. And instead of just fighting it or arguing, he just went ahead and changed. He kept everything on the label except the spelling.
Even kept the fish.
Right.
So you got a little Dalton fish there instead of a dolphin fish. At any rate, I'm Ronnie Allen, and I am talking with Gary Troxell, who is the guy in the group that was originally called Two Girls and a Guy. Gary, when did you join the Navy?
I joined the Naval Reserves in 1956. I would go to monthly meetings, and then I had to go active. When you join up there, you sign a paper that says, I will go active for 2 years after I graduate from high school. Well, Bob Reisdorf, because the Fleetwoods were going great guns at that point, he went and talked to the, I think it was an admiral of the 13th Naval District, was headquartered in Seattle, and he got me a year's deferment. And then he got me another one.
Okay. When did you eventually have to go active? When did they say, well, you can't get
any... I had to go in 1960.
When you went active, did that mean that you couldn't do any touring, or were you able to get off and do some touring if you had, like, a leave type of situation? Or?
Well, I did get leave, but what was pretty cool is that I was stationed in San Diego, and that's not too far from Hollywood.
Oh.
Yeah, I could go up, and I stayed at Bob's house in Hollywood, and would record when I needed to, and he talked to the captain and the executive officer of the ship, and they would let me go anytime I wanted to. It was pretty nice.
We're going to go to a song right now, which was originally done by a group called the Three Chuckles, and Teddy Randazzo was the lead singer. Run Around, that was done in the 50s. Was it Bob Reisdorf that came up with the idea that the Fleetwoods take crack, possibly put it out as a single?
I think you're right.
Did you ever hear the version by the Three Chuckles?
Oh, yeah. When he played it for us, you know, we'd go out and buy those records because you could still buy that. In fact, I might have that copy that he bought for us to learn the song from. But he said, of course, I don't want you to sing it like they do. And then he plays it, and it's just so laid back, there's almost no beat to it. It's just such a different rendition. People need to listen to that, and then listen to ours, see how different they are.
Sounds to me like it was a good song for your personal vocal style.
Oh, I think you're right.
I'll never be the one to part. You found a flame here in my heart. Go have your fun.
I've had my fun.
Run around. I'll never leave you. I'm forever bound. The streets are noisy. I'm all alone. I sit and wait, dear, for you to phone. Go have your fun.
I'll have my fun.
Go have your fun. Run around. I've waited so long, it seems you've vanished out of my dreams. Maybe a new love you found. Settle down, run around. Go have your fun, run around. I've waited so long, it seems you've vanished out of my dreams. Maybe a new love you found. Settle down, run around.
I'll never be the one to part. You found a place here in my heart.
Go have your fun.
I'll have my
go have your fun. Run around.
And that was Run Around by the Fleetwoods. Gary Troxell doing the lead singing on that record. But you didn't bring your car keys to that session, except to drive. You didn't bring them into the studio and use them as an instrument. It was only on Come Softly. Did Gretchen do the musical arrangements? Was she the only person that was involved in that, or did you all contribute to the quote-unquote musical arrangements?
Oh, I think we all contributed, but also Bonnie Guitar contributed, too. She already had a couple of hits. Her biggest one was Dark Moon. So she had some good background for helping us with vocal arrangements. And she did help us all the time that we were in Seattle.
We're going to move on to a couple more Fleetwood recordings. The next one is a song that I originally heard when Thomas Wayne took it to the top 10, a song called Tragedy. Do you recall how it came about that the Fleetwoods would record that? Whose idea was it? Was it one of the girls, or was it Bob?
Well, I think it was Bob's. I don't know why or anything, but of course he knew that we could do it differently. I just recently, this last summer now, I heard Thomas Wayne's played over a PA system at one of the car functions that we attend every year. And while I was listening, I just thought, oh, they're playing the Fleetwoods. But of course, as the song went by, I realized, that's not us, that's Thomas Wayne. And it was great. What a great record.
Did you learn it from his recording?
Yes,
Sadly, Thomas Wayne was killed in a car accident in 1971, and it's hard to believe he was only 31 years old. He was a brother, by the way, of a very well-known guitarist who used to work with Johnny Cash by the name of Luther Perkins. Thomas Wayne's real name was Thomas Wayne Perkins. Thomas Wayne's version was a big hit, and the Fleetwoods version of Tragedy was a big hit as well. In fact, Gary, this became your third top 10 recording. It peaked at number 10 in the year 1961. By that time, you know, Dalton was really getting up there in releasing records. This was Dalton 45. We're going to listen to it right now. These are the Fleetwoods and Tragedy. That was Tragedy Interesting story there where you thought you were listening to your own record, but it was Thomas Wayne's record. We got time for one more recording. Before I play it, I want to mention that presently you are working with a couple of other girls right now.
Yes, I am.
And they are?
Bonnie Hanukane and Cheryl Huggins, and they're both from Olympia also. We do the oldies shows, mostly on the East Coast, but the last few months we've done a number of shows on the West Coast, and the company is stationed in Merrillville, Indiana, but they evidently had enough connection with PBS, and I think they got together and decided that there was a need out here.
It's interesting that you said you do most of your shows on the East Coast for a group that was known as a West Coast group.
Sure is.
So life plays some strange trick, so to speak, I guess you could say. I know there's a lot of your story that we are not telling on this particular show, but people who want to learn a lot more about you, not only your music, but also your life history, you've done other things besides singing. You've been in different lines of work, is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah.
That are totally non-musical.
Right.
And you were also famous for another reason, and if people want to find out what that reason is, what is your website called?
TheFleetwoods.us.
Do you need the www or not?
I don't think you need it, but I know everybody says that.
The Fleetwoods, that's TheFleetwoods.us. I do know that Gretchen Christopher put out a solo album last year, which got very good reviews, called Sweet 16.
Uh-huh.
So she's kind of doing her own thing right now. I've kind of lost touch with what Barbara Ellis is doing these days. Do you have any idea?
Well, not really. I know that she's building a house in Texas, and I can't remember what the little town's name is. She used to live in a town not too far from Dallas, but I think this is a different place.
Do you realize that next year will be the 50th anniversary of Come Softly to Me hitting number one on the chart?
Hey, that means I'm over 59, doesn't it?
I guess so.
Yeah, time's flying.
We're going to close the show right now with a song called He's the Great Imposter. There was a movie that I enjoyed so very much, The Great Imposter, that starred Tony Curtis, and it was about some guy named Damara, I believe, in real life, who was a great imposter. He pretended that he was qualified for various things, which he really wasn't. I was wondering if the song had any connection with the movie.
I don't think so. That was written by Jackie DeShannon and Sharon Sheely, and Sharon Sheely died, I think, early last year.
And she also wrote Poor Little Fool, by the way. She was a great,
yeah,
great song.
I didn't get to meet her, but I did meet Jackie DeShannon when we were on one of those PBS specials after all these years. Finally, I met her.
Gary, thank you for taking the time to do this show with me. I want to wish you continued success.
Thanks for calling.
And have a great celebration next year, 50th anniversary. Boy, did I make you feel older or what?
Have a big class reunion, too.
That's great. Closing the show right now, these are the Fleetwoods, and He's the Great Imposter.
Well, I went and lost her to the great imposter. I stood and watched her fall, couldn't help her at all. Poetry, so sweet, has her at his feet. She thinks she's the one, but he has just begun. All her friends, they just watch her, for they know the great imposter. Don't she know he's on a stage? It's not real, it's just a play, and he's playing the part that is soon to break her heart. Oh, can she see tomorrow's misery? Soon she'll learn her fate, but it'll be too late. All her friends, they just watch her, for they know the great imposter. Poetry, so sweet, has her at his feet. She thinks she's the one, but he has just begun. All her friends, they just watch her, for they know the great impulse. Foster, and she's soon to join the roster. For they know the great imposter, and she's soon to join the roster. For they know the great imposter, and she's soon to join the.
Well, that's the show. Now a couple of bonus tracks by the Fleetwoods. Here's the Fleetwoods version of the song which may have inspired Gary's Dum 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 Dee Dum Doobie on Come Softly to Me. Interestingly enough, the song has a very similar title, so maybe that's not such a coincidence after all. Here are the Fleetwoods doing Come Go With Me.
Dum 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 biddle dum 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 biddle dum 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 biddle dum wah 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 oh. Dum 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 wah 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 oh.
Well, I love you, darling. Come go with me, come go with me, way beyond the sea. I need you, darling, so come go with me. Come, 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 come into my heart. Tell me, darling, we will never part. I need you, darling, so come go with me. Yes, I need you, yes, I really need you. You never give me a chance.
Come, 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 come,
come into my heart. Tell me, darling, we will never part. I need you, darling, so come go with me. Yes, I need you, yes, I really need you. Please say you'll never leave me. Well, say you'll never, yes, you really never.
You never give me a chance.
Come into my heart, tell me, darling, we will never part. I need you, darling, so come go with me.
Dum 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 dum.
And finally, here's a beautiful song by the Fleetwoods. Gretchen Christopher doing the lead singing. The song is called Serenade of the Bells.
In a sleepy town of San Juanito, there's a story that a padre tells of a fair senor and senorita and the serenade of the bells. Seems they ask the padre for permission to be married early in the spring, but the padre gave just one condition, that the mission bells had to ring. Everyone knew the bells were broken and hadn't sounded in a long, long time. But on the night before they married, the bells began to chime. So the bells were broken, goes the story. But if in your glory and the serenade of the bells. Everyone knew the bells were broken and hadn't sounded in a long, long time. But on the night before they married, the bells began.
the bells were